Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local preacher at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our radio broadcast this morning. We are endeavoring to answer questions concerning Bible truth that might help you to understand who we are and what we believe. We encourage you to listen each Sunday morning at this time as we open up the pages of God's Holy Word. We also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our meeting times at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. This morning, we want to answer the question why we believe the Lord's Supper should be served every Sunday. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper as a memorial to his own death in Matthew the 26th chapter, beginning in 26 through 28. During the time that he had his last discussion with his disciples, he instituted what we commonly refer to today as the Lord's Supper. Paul, record of that, stated, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In like manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" The next verse says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." As often suggests regularity, something done on a regular basis. That raises the question, how often, then, do we partake of this memorial, the Lord's Supper? It is not uncommon to find churches that offer the Lord's Supper once a month, once a quarter, or even once a year. An internet search for the communion service, communion schedule, or communion Sunday will reveal calendars or schedules showing which Sundays through the year the Lord's Supper will be offered. In contrast, God's people have the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Is it a matter of preference, or is it a biblical principle? The text. Any conclusions that are drawn about when and how often to partake of the Lord's Supper will be taken from Acts 20 and verse 7. That text says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Notice, the disciples were breaking bread on the first day of the week. This is the only passage that tells us what day the Lord's Supper was observed. This is an approved example. We have no command about the day of observance, but we do have an approved example. How do we know that God approved of what we're doing here? As Paul preached on this occasion, a man fell out of the window and died. Paul raised him from the dead, a miracle, thus showing God's approval of what was going on. Verses 10 through 12. Break bread refers to eating the Lord's Supper. Some have questioned whether we can be sure break bread is referring to the Lord's Supper, or is it a common meal? That expression, at least the concept of breaking bread, is used multiple times to refer to the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26:26, Mark 14:22, Luke 22:19, Acts 2:42, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16, and verse chapter 11 verse 23 and 24. It is also referred to as a common meal in Acts 2 verse 46. But how is it used in Acts 20 verse 7? That's the key, because that's the verse that tells us to do it upon the first day of the week. The text of Acts 20 verse 7 is a worship assembly. A common meal was not to be eaten in the assembly, according to Paul's teaching to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 22. Thus, this is a reference to the Lord's Supper in an assembly. The first day of the week is a significant day in the Scripture. Jesus was raised from the dead on the first day of the week, Matthew 28 and verse 1. Jesus appeared to his disciples on the first day of the week, in John 20, verse 19 and 26. Not only did he make an appearance to those who initially saw him, But when the disciples, all but Thomas, met together the very day that he was raised, Jesus appeared in their midst, in verse 19. A week later, they met again. Thomas was present this time, and Jesus appeared in verse number 26. The first gospel sermon was preached on the first day of the week in Acts 2. The day of Pentecost fell on the first day of the week. Read Leviticus 23:15-16. The first gospel sermon preached under the Great Commission was preached on the first day of the week. The church was thus established on the first day of the week, according to Acts 2, verse 47. The day of Pentecost was the first time the church was spoken of as already being in existence. All references before that time speaks as something in the future. Read Matthew 16:18. All references after this speaks as it had already being established. Please read Ephesians 1:22-23 and chapter 5, verse number 32. The first day of the week was a day of worship with the first century disciples. On the day of Pentecost, the first day of the week, disciples were found engaging in acts of worship. In Acts 2, verse 42, Christians met at Troas on the first day of the week to break bread, as we've already read. They would be assembled for the worship on the first day of the week. So Paul instructed that a collection be taken as they were assembled, according to 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. The first day of the week means every first day of the week. Now, some translations in 1 Corinthians 16, 2, on the first day of every week, the American Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, the NIV, the Revised Standard Version, all state on the first day of every week. Excuse me. Vincent says it has a distributive type of force. Every first day. Whether or not the word every should appear in the text is not the point. For Paul's instruction implies that it was done every time the first day rolls around. Illustration. Suppose a club posts this notice. The club meets on Monday. What would that mean? Which Monday? We all understand that it means every Monday. If when you were hired, your boss said you will be paid on Friday, what would that mean? One Friday a year? One Friday a month? We all know that means every time there is a Friday. Suppose the boss says Saturday is double time. What would that mean? Which Saturday? Again, we know that it means every time that there is a Saturday. Since the day of the week is mentioned, then a weekly observance is what is intended. Has God intended a yearly or annual observance? A day of the year would have been given, such as the first day of the second month. Had God intended a monthly observance, a day of the month would have been given, such as the 10th day of the month. Had God intended a weekly observance, a day in a week would have been given, such as the first day of the week in Acts 20, verse 7. Consider that the Passover in Exodus 12, verse 16 and 14 was the 14th day of the first month. That meant it was annual. The Feast of Trumpets was Leviticus 23:24, first day of the seventh month. That was an annual feast. And the Atonement was once a year, Leviticus 23, verse 27, on the 10th day of the seventh month. And the Tabernacles, the Feast of the Tabernacles, was the 15th day of the seventh month. It was annual. And then we have the Sabbath, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. It was the seventh day of the week. It was a weekly observance. We have the Lord's Supper, first day of the week. That, too, is a weekly observance. Parallel to the Sabbath day, one of the Ten Commandments was, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Exodus 20, verse 8. Which Sabbath day was to be remembered? The text did not say every Sabbath. However, that was understood. Every Jew understood the command to apply to every time the Sabbath day occurred. The Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. When the first day of the week is mentioned in connection with the Lord's Supper, which first day does that mean? The same principle applies here that we see to the Sabbath day. Disciples are to break bread every time the first day of the week occurs. The Sabbath day and the first day of the week come around every week. The evidence that the Lord's Supper is to be observed every week is found in Acts 20, verse 7. Any evidence that it should be observed once a month, once a year, or quarterly has not been found. In the absence of evidence, we must stick with the revelation of God and speak as the oracle of God of 1 Peter 4, verse 11. Dear listener, who determines that it should be done once a quarter, once a month, bi-monthly, once a year, three times a year? Who makes those decisions? Men. My question, very simply, where is the authority? If I take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, then I'm going to follow the pattern that's in the New Testament. If I do it once a quarter, once a month, bi-monthly, once a year, I don't have that pattern in the Bible. I've assumed and made my own judgment concerning how often that the Lord's Supper needs to occur and how many times it needs to be done during the year. I suggest to you that Acts 20, verse 7, the day has been appointed and the first day of the week, so that means 52 times a year, we should observe the Lord's Supper. Some of the arguments that I hear presented by some is that if we do it regular, it will lose its significance. Come again? If we do it too much, it will lose its significance? It will never lose its significance if we remember what it's to remind us of. It's to remind us of the death of our Savior on a cross. That humiliating death, that painful, anguished death that he suffered alone when he hung between heaven and earth for 6 hours. And he was scourged, he was fed upon, he was reviled, he was mocked. And he was alone. And he did all of that, not for any sin that he committed, but he did it for our sin. Because we've sinned, in order that we might have redemption and we might have a hope of eternal life. How could that lose its significance by doing it too much? Matter of fact, the other argument could be offered that God intended for it to be done every week because man is a forgetful being. He has a tendency to forget about God. He has a tendency to forget about the great things that God has done for him. If you need evidence of that, please read the account of the children of Israel. They forgot God often, and their forgetfulness led them into apostasy, which led them into idolatry, which led them into disobedience of God's law, that led them into being destroyed as a people of God. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, because every week has a first day. And if we do it every first day of the week, then we can't get it wrong. But if we do it once a month, once a year, quarterly, bi-monthly, then we're assuming that those Sundays are the day that the Lord wanted us to partake of the Lord's Supper. That is a dangerous assumption. That is very risky business. Why not gather around the table every first day of the week to have the unleavened bread remind us of the body of Christ, and the fruit of the vine to remind us of the blood that was shed as he hung upon that cross, and give thanks and remember the great price that was paid for our salvation when our Lord died on that day on Calvary because of his love for us and our need for a remedy for sin. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord's Supper, every first day of the week, everyone, without fail, 52 times a year, because that's the authority and example that we find in Acts 20, verse 7. Thank you.